Welcome to an episode of the Unpinned Podcast. I am the host, Pinterest manager, and content creator, Fenley. I can't wait to share everything with you today, so let's dive right in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Unpinned Podcast. I am your host and creator, Fenley, and I just wanted to just cover a small little thing. Let's check in. Let me know how you're doing. Like, I want to know how your start of the year is going. It's 2022. It's like only the second week in, and I want to know how you're feeling or what is the tone or vibe that you're setting for the rest of the year. Checking in with me, I did take my booster shot yesterday. I am not feeling all that great, but here I am. I'm pushing through it because I feel like this is like really important content that I need to put out in regards to Pinterest. So let's just go ahead and talk about it. So in the last episode, we talked about how Pinterest works or what Pinterest is and when or why would you need a Pinterest manager. So as a business owner or a blogger, you do need to think about, well, how am I going to put my content out there? And I know I touched upon it saying that there are three ways that you can optimize your content on Pinterest. And one of them was being standard pins, which is like the typical pins that you see with the image. And then there's a description or some kind of text overlay on it. The other one was video pins. And then the last one is ideal pins. So today I wanted to go ahead and touch on the standard pins. So your pins are always going to be at the forefront of showcasing any of your products, your services, your art, your blog, showing everything that you want to share with your audience. So the entire idea behind the pin is basically capturing your audience attention and leading them to want more, or, you know, for them to click on your pin. You want to entice them a bit to make sure that they can, you know, get whatever it is that you're offering or whatever you're showing them. As long as it piques their interest, they're going to be curious, right? And they're going to click on it. And if they really want it, they're going to click through. So that's the whole idea behind it. But a lot of people tend to flood Pinterest with their content, but it's not working out. And why is that? So here I am. Now, it doesn't have to be super big or super fancy, because in the end, or super detailed even, if you don't have one, don't worry about it being super detailed, because what's going to happen is that when you put it on your pins, it's kind of sort of not going to be super visual, if that makes sense. You're going to want it to be off to the side, real subtle. You don't want it to take over the entire pin, because that's going to defeat the entire purpose of showcasing your product or service. And if you're a blogger, you're like, well, I don't have a brand or a logo or anything like that. That is super okay. If you really want to make a logo, I do talk about how you can build your own brand kit. But for people who have a blog, sometimes it's as simple as having a text overlay with a font style that has the website address. So if you're saying, like for me, mine's is just www.justbenley.com. And it could be as simple as that. And then you just put it at the bottom of the pin centered. Now that you have your brand kit settled, what's next? So typically when you create a pin, you can use any kind of design platform you want to use. Canva is the most common one that I hear. And I haven't used anything but Canva. So I'm just talking in Canva terms, okay? You can create a custom design where you can have the aspects. And I think they actually made an update to actually accommodate for creating pins for Pinterest. So if you need the pixel requirements, that's going to be 1,000 by 1,500 or an aspect ratio of 2 to 3. If you have a product or service, you do want that to be the main focus of your pin. So that is going to be completely the entire background of your pin, and it's going to be at the forefront of everything, right? What kind of style of blog that fits you? Like, are you a minimalist? Are you simplistic? Are you glam? Are you chic? Are you boho? As long as you have something that relates to your blog, you're going to be totally fine, and you're going to be able to keep to that style, right? The thing I like to do for bloggers especially is that you want to be able to have that text overlay, because that text overlay is going to be the one to deliver the click-through ability to your blog. I do showcase it in my blog of how it, you know, how you can make it look versus how it should look or what looks better. So there's this feature on Canva where there's something called transparency. You can actually dial down the intensity of the image so that way your text overlay is more readable. There are other ways to do this where you can actually grab an element from Canva, whether it's a circle, square, whatever, what have you, and create it as a white color-based block, and you put it behind your text, and then you turn down the opacity to whatever you need to dial it down so that way your text overlay is more readable. So those are two different ways that you can make it super readable. And I believe pretty much every pin has a text overlay. Even some products do as well. It's not a huge requirement, but if the person who sees your product doesn't know what it is right off the bat, like firsthand, like if they see a purse, like a picture of a purse, then granted, yeah, everybody knows that's a purse. But if you have some kind of invention that serves a certain purpose and you just showcase that, nobody's gonna understand what that is. So you're probably gonna want to say, hey, this is like one of my 5 unique inventions or something like that, that will help you with cleaning your house or something to that effect, so that way they can get a clearer picture or a better clarity of what your product is. So if it's not as obvious as something like, oh, it's a pen, oh, it's a pencil, or oh, it's a purse, if it's not as simple as something like that, you know, ball-like looking thing onto your pin, and you say, okay, well, this is my product, and it says it's a speaker, but then it doesn't look like a speaker right off the bat, and most pinners aren't gonna really read the pin. Well, there's a ball as they scroll past. What you want to do is you want to stop them and say, check out this cool retro looking speaker. You know, have some kind of description into your text overlay to kind of help stop that person from scrolling and go, oh my God, this is a super cool speaker. Because most pinners are just going to keep scrolling by and they're just going to be like, they're just looking at images. I haven't come across an instance where there's a pinner that reads all of the pin titles. The pin titles are only there to help with your SEO, which I'm gonna get into. And so sorry, I'm actually talking more than I need to about this whole text overlay and everything like that. But anyway, moving on. Some people, like I said, they have a hard time with trying to get their pins to pop, because the most important part about a text overlay is being able to make it pop. So you don't want to use the same typical boring fonts that people and pinners alike are used to seeing. You want to try and use something different, but you don't want it to be so different to the point where they can't read it. So you still want it to be readable, but you still want it to be a fun font. And most business owners who create a pin don't realize how important fonts are. This is just a small flashback. I remember when I was sitting down with a potential client and asking her what her brand kit looks like and what her fonts are. And straight up, like, she only uses one font and she didn't think it made such a huge difference to her, you know, her content designs or her post designs. And I had to show her how big of a difference there is. I had to show her, like, which one would you want to, you know, would you pick this one or would you pick this one? Like, which one would you stick around and read? And she was like, I like that one. And I asked her why. And she's like, because it looks more fun. I said, exactly. I had this design layout. It was all the same. It was just the fonts were different. And she was like, I see now what you mean by how important fonts are. Here are a couple of ways that you could style your font so that it becomes more of an attraction to your potential audience. Different font sizes. You can actually highlight things like how to or do it yourself. Like, those are like super big things that pinners like to see. They like to see those how to's. And if you have it bigger or even slightly smaller, then the rest of your text overlay, that kind of helps highlight, because sometimes when you make something smaller, it draws them to focus on that. And when you put things bigger, it kind of just shoves it in their face, right? So typically I like to do the how-tos and the do-it-yourself or DIYs as like a main concept of text, if that is part of your pin content. If a how-to or a do-it-yourself is not part of your pin content, please don't use those words. Only use them if they are relevant to your pin content. This is just an example. The other thing pinners like is numbers. So that's another thing you can highlight to make different sizes on the fonts is numbers. They like them high, they like them odd. So don't be afraid to make those bigger than your normal font, you know, body text overlay. The other thing that you could do, instead of having a, you know, straight up standard font for everything, right? Because sometimes we use more of the sans or the sans serif or like the typical standard text that is super readable and more universal for anybody. I like to throw in a handwriting type of font that is easy to read and kind of quickly draws attention to exactly what the pin is about. If you can style something like, just let's just say, for example, you're trying to make a blog about easy no bake dinners. Excuse me. Yeah, we'll do that. Easy no bake dinners. You can put, as an example for your text, is the how to make easy no bake dinners, right? You can easily take the words easy no bake and put it in a handwriting script. And that's going to draw them in because it puts their focus on the thing that stands out the most in the font, which is going to be easy no bake. And to most pinners who see that, the light bulb goes up and goes, I want that. I want to know how to make easy no bake dinners. Like, what is that? It piques their interest. So it creates a focal point on your pin in your text overlay. So these are just one of the many methods you could use. I'm pretty sure there's more, but these are the two methods that I'm starting you out with, because typically you don't want to make it too complicated when it comes to pin designing, because the less complicated you make it, the least amount of risk that there is for you to make this mistake of overloading your pin. Because sometimes if you overload your pin, you overcrowd it, you put all of the fancy smancy stuff on it, you're going to basically end up defeating the entire purpose of you creating your pin or having pins on Pinterest in the first place. So you can apply these methods or you can use a combination of both. Just use your best judgment to decide what looks best. And like I said, it's always clean and simple that wins when it comes to pins. Your pin titles and descriptions, I know I mentioned this before, that this is how it's going to optimize. It's going to all be SEO, okay? SEO, search engine optimized, meaning that you're going to want to use really rich keywords or SEO keywords that you want to use to describe your pin and what it's all about. Your pin titles are generally your basically explaining generally what your pin is about. So if it's all about how to make no bake easy dinners, that could be your pin title as well. So sometimes your text overlay can actually cross over to your pin title. And then with your pin description, you can describe whatever it is. So you can put down like, these are really easy family dinners that you can make every night and without the hassle of trying to cook something or bake something. These are really easy to put together type of deal. You just want to fill up about 2 to 3 sentences. There is a 500 character limit for descriptions, but, and this kind of goes without saying, hashtags are no longer relevant, and I know it's in my blog. But if the hashtags were relevant again, if ever in the future, then you would also need to use SEO keywords there as well. And the most crucial part that some people forget about is active links. So Pinterest does require a link. And most people, when they do create things on Tailwind, there is a standard link that is already defaulted to, which is your website, which is your homepage website, whatever it is that you set it up onto, when it's going to go there. But what you really want to do is make sure that your link goes directly to the content related to the pin that you created. So if you created a pin that says how to make no bake easy dinners, then you need to directly link your pin to the blog or the recipes or whatever it is related to that pin. Okay, you don't need to shorten your link for Bitly, like through Bitly, because I know some people are like, oh, the address is so long, like I don't want to use it. The thing is that when you copy and you paste any kind of link and you use a shortener like Bitly, Tailwind's going to automatically flag you, and Pinterest is, and if you're not using Tailwind and it doesn't really, you know, flag you for that, Pinterest will catch it. And then they're going to think that your pin is a spam. It's one of those spam bot things that they probably programmed. I can't really go into too much detail with it, but I do know for a fact that if you try to use a shortened link on Pinterest, if you're creating a pin on Pinterest, you're gonna get flagged for spam content. I mean, if the web address is long, let it be long, because God's honest truth, when your pin is live and on Pinterest, they're not even gonna be able to see the link anyway. They're just gonna click through whatever and that's it. And it automatically, and if you're using Tailwind, it also automatically shortens it for you anyway. So it doesn't matter. Now that you're ready to upload, because we went over everything, let's double check your list, okay? So make sure that you are using your brand kit and logo. Make sure you have a captivating image or background as your main focal point. Make sure you have a text overlay that's making that text pop. Make sure you have rich SEO keywords in your pin titles and descriptions. And your first two sentences should be full of those SEO keywords and sentences. If you have a third sentence saying, you know, click on the link to follow or read more, that's totally fine. And make sure you're links are legit and accurate. So those are like the main component. One little bonus tip that I want to mention. Okay. I know I told you that you should put your brand or your logo on the bottom, centered, or, you know, whatever. There is something that you need to know. When you create your pin, make sure that whatever image or elements that you use, and I say elements because this is like in Canva terms, elements that you use, they're not too abstract, meaning that you don't want to glam up your pin so much that the pinner loses sight of the whole point of the pin. So make sure that whatever is your focal point of your pin is the main focal point, and that's it. And that's going to be the hugest part of your pin. It's going to be a background image. It's going to be the whole image. Whatever it is, it's going to be at the center and forefront, because you don't want anything else distracting. And if you still are struggling with some inspiration on how to create your pin, you can also go ahead and hop onto Pinterest. And I do this too, because sometimes you just want to get an idea or a feel for what is like the top trending, or what is the top pin design that pops up when you search for something similar to what you do or whatever it is that you're searching for. So at one point I typed in Pinterest coach, and I looked at the whole bunch of pins that popped up in the, like, at least the first two rows. And then I went into the categories, or it says similar categories or something like that, or similar pins on the left hand side. Some odd, they kind of place it in weird places. Sometimes it's on the left, sometimes it's on the right. But there should be one where it says, oh, you can see all these other similar categories. And I'll click on those two just to kind of get a feel for what's in the first two rows of that search result. And once I get a feel for what the designs or what it is that people are clicking on or pinning or saving or whatever it is, once I get a feel for what it is, those things have that is making people want to save them or pin them, then I go ahead and I translate that into my own pin designs. So I take that entire concept and inspiration and I move it over into my own designs. So don't be afraid to use that Pinterest search bar, you guys, to help give you some inspiration to creating your next pins. It's not a bad thing. Just as long as you're not copying the same exact pin, then you're fine. Because the whole point of being on Pinterest and putting your content out there is that it's 100% yours. All you're doing is using the pins from those search results as a inspiration or ideas for how you can present your content. So that's about it. I went through everything. If there is any questions, please feel free to message me. I love the fact that Anchor allows you to leave messages for me. So I'm super looking forward to getting messages from you about how you're doing and any questions that you may have so far in regards to styling your pins for Pinterest. A couple of other things going on for me. So one is that I am actually having this podcast have a donation. So I would appreciate any monetary donation or support, even 99 cents. I would be super grateful if you donated 99 cents to me. I would be floored by that and super grateful. The other thing that's going on for me right now is that I am planning on being in a Course Creators Academy, and that's going to be happening in April. So April is going to be when it's going to be happening. I'll keep you guys posted. The other thing that's happening with me is that I now have a newsletter. So if you want to, you know, mosey on down to my website and sign up for my newsletter, that would be super awesome as well. You get a freebie for signing up with my newsletter, by the way. You can actually go to my website, and if you scroll to the bottom, there should be something called the 30-Day Commitment Challenge. And it's a free PDF download that you can have. And I think it's really fitting for like the start of the new year. But I created this because I wanted people to be able to find an easier way for them to create a habit out of something. Because what's a better way of changing something about yourself is making it a habit. The basic layout of it is that you have a goal. In the example that I have, it's you want to be able to walk for 30 minutes in a day. I advise inside of that download that you can start with 5 minutes a day, and then you can up it to 10 minutes a day or 8 minutes a day. And as long as you do some kind of walking, you can basically scratch out that one day. So it has a 30-day counter. Just want to walk every day. You can even put that as a goal. But at the end of the month, and this is like the most important part that I tell everybody, you need to have a reward for yourself. So you need to write down a reward for yourself before you start the challenge, because you need to acknowledge the fact that once you get to those 30 days of doing whatever it is that you committed yourself to doing, you should be able to celebrate that. And that's like one of the most important crucial parts about this download. So if you want to sign up for my newsletter to get all of the updates, promos, special, and even updates on Pinterest trends and changes, I would highly suggest that you go over to my website at jessbenlee.com and sign up for my newsletter by downloading the 30-day commitment challenge. Okay. So I think that's about all I had to mention. Feel free to email me, drop me a message, however, which way you want to do it, do it. Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry. I almost forgot. One more thing. If you are a business owner and you would like for your business to be promoted, I can help you do that. I am opening up space on my podcast for you to promote your business. So if you are interested in doing that, again, head on over to my website, go to my book a discovery call with me, and then we can totally chat about it. All right. But until next time, have a wonderful and amazing week and weekend. Guess what? I'm hosting my Finley's Pin Party this month. It's going to be held on January 26th at 12 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time. Tickets are on sale right now at the early bird price of $10. Early bird will end on January 19th, so thereafter the tickets will be for $15. I do have a 10 people capacity, so it is a first come, first serve. And my pin party is all about being able to work with me on your Pinterest account and Pinterest boards, or answer any Pinterest questions you may have. I am so excited and looking forward to meeting with you. If you would like to join me for my pin party, the information is going to be in the description. I'm going to be leaving a link for you to click through to purchase your ticket on Eventbrite. And I am so looking forward to meeting and talking about your Pinterest account. See you there. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I know you learned something. Feel free to share it with others. And if you would like to connect with me through social media, all of my links are in the description below, where you can also sign up for my newsletter. You can even message me with your questions. I'm always here if you need me. Until next time, keep pinning.